Commodity, during England's medieval period, was used to mean good, i.e., a good of use to the Commonwealth, the collectivity. During the June 16th, 2013 show, we said that Shakespeare in King John used the word commodity to mean being tempted to self-betrayal. And what better proof of the truth of his words than to see how we walk through our days so thoughtlessly, so forgetful of self, begging to be used. Shakespeare's usage ties perfectly into the point Popper and de Grazia and Alice Miller implicitly when she speaks about the need for the self's autonomy to escape the surrounding totality, which is the broader class society, which they are all making, that only that which is of use to the state. And this is going to be discussed next week when we start reading Miklos Nisley's Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account, that only that which is of use to the state can command a price, is rewarded, can be exchanged. Only that which the Commonwealth, the state, regards as such is a good, quote unquote. In this we see Popper's point as he explained the implications of Plato's thought. The self means nothing. Only the state, the Commonwealth, matters. That this self-submersion in the whole resonates with us as living things is obvious. Our hearts are bound to further each other. This is the key capacity, quality, good power has stolen for its ignoble purpose, use, that which prior to subjection to rule, before we shared willingly and consciously with our tribes. But that this deeply lodged pearl in our hearts, concern for the whole, is ripped out and placed, priced for the market, is a deep wound we heal as we face it and choose to relodge consciously within our care that pearl, our alienated gifts and goods, our earth. The self-betrayal forced upon us by the conditions set by statesmen, life crusted over with concrete, this weight that was there before any one of us came, is what is now being dissolved by our necessary, synchronous thinking in holding before our eyes the goal of the released leadership capacities of every human being. And on this issue of our need for knowledge, of knowledge being unnecessary for us, it's not just that statesmen were trained to see and display learnedness as a trophy, as a prized possession, which we were taught to covet unconsciously, but that consciously they strive to monopolize its seeming possession and consciously use this illusion as a tactic of control. As Popper points out, it's imperative for power to seem superior. Quote from Popper, "For a full justification of the demand that the philosophers should rule, we must therefore proceed to analyze the tasks connected with the city's preservation. We know from Plato's sociological theories that the state, once established, will continue to be stable as long as there is no split in the unity of the master class. The bringing up of that class is therefore the great preserving function of the sovereign, and a function which must continue as long as the state exists. How far does it justify the demand that a philosopher must rule? The great importance which Plato attaches to a philosophical education of the rulers must be explained by reasons purely political. The main reason I can see is the need for increasing to the utmost the authority of the rulers. Thus, Plato's philosophical education has a definite political function. It puts a mark on the rulers, and it establishes a barrier between the rulers and the ruled. This has remained a major function of higher education down to our own time. Platonic wisdom is acquired largely for the sake of establishing a permanent class rule. It can be described as political medicine, giving mystic powers to its possessors, the medicine men," unquote, from The Open Society and Its Enemies, the spell of Plato. So, the manor clerks of medieval England all made their entries in Latin. So so-called masters down through the years have ever lived in fear that the thoughts of the so-called slaves would grow beyond their station. So ladders and pathways to proving merit were erected, and the enforced privatization of children worked to make certain that there would be no roots to truth. And as children try their best to please their parents, all the accoutrement of ranking did what it's designed to and kept the vast majority trapped in fear that they never would be smart enough to matter, still jumping nonetheless, still hoping for the weight that would bring recognition and help to overcome their fears of lack of worth. The cons all worked with a wicked misanthropic potency, and we the people have suffered prodigiously. Which is why we must step up and see that it is power's clogged thought that is the problem. It is this clogged thought that must be broken up, not in and of itself, but as a token of the incidental to our growing up. Because as Nicola's mother said, it must be we who've suffered the consequences of this clogged thought of princes to break free by breaking up their thought, by developing our leadership. The emperor won't stand fully exposed till we grow big enough to know he has no clothes. For too long, we've been trapped in the mistaken notion that the only escape from slavery is learnedness, i.e. joining with power in its privatization, dehumanization, accumulation project, or put more plainly, its project to craft the perfect state. Even those who hoped to preserve their heart, their soul, were captured by accepting power's terms for altruism that preserve the fait accompli of the state. But now that those terms are falling under our scrutiny and the cons are unraveling, we see that only by standing with our brothers and sisters globally, and the earth, and our ancestors who fought so bravely for us, can we be free? Until next week, peace.